like Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. I'm just going to read right now a few phrases from Scripture and just keep letting just the Holy Spirit talk to your hearts. Samuel says, "Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes." As Isaiah 40, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." Psalm 27, "Wait for the Lord, be strong. Let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord." Exodus 14, Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord." Psalm 37, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." And one of my favorites, Exodus 14, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to remain still." And I keep meditating on this one, and isn't it just so powerful? The Lord will fight for you. You only need to remain still. And yet how hard to do that many times, right? How hard, because how are you fighting for me, Lord? I'm not getting it. That's why I need to do this, or I need to do that, because I maybe don't like the way you're fighting for me. But his ways are above our ways, and his thoughts above our thoughts. But the Lord is fighting for us. And our Blessed Mother, she mastered this, right? Her different stages and just her path through life, that darkness. Imagine to be said that sword that was going to pierce her heart, and then to just sit still with that. What does that mean? Maybe she asked for a little coffee with Simeon after. Can you explain? I don't think so, right? Sat still with that. Oh, Mother, help us. Help us and continue to teach us how to be still, knowing that our Lord is with us. So just three points maximum here to continue this theme. And maybe some of you heard me speak about this in 2 years ago in Maria's house, about these three points that I'm just going to touch on one of those, but it's the let go, let in, and let be. And so we have to let go of many things in our lives, right? Especially things that our Lord doesn't want us to carry. Let go fear, shame, anger, bitterness, regret, we name it. Things that are heavy on our backpack of our life journey, and our Lord wants us to leave these things by his feet. How wonderful that just today, as we're praying here before him, we can leave this weight and just let go of these things. The letting, which is the graces that God is giving us, and thank you again for doing this beautiful prayer time, which allows to just be before our Lord and let in all these graces, to let in the Holy Spirit with his gifts and with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But the one that, for me, is probably the hardest and that touches a lot on the be still is the let be. Because how many things we have in our lives that we cannot really let go because they're right there, right before us. Something that we feel we cannot do anything, but a sickness and the unknown of that sickness, an aging parent that we can also not do anything but just, and so many things that we can only let be in our lives. And how can we just let be? Waiting in the Lord, right? Waiting, learning like Our Lady to wait on the Lord. And with that letting be, and it's that many things that we hold in our lives and that we need to hold. And there's these two things that, there's a book that one lady in DC gave to me that was titled Things That Women Hold. And it has mainly pictures, but then it has a few things there that I'm going to just read a pass of it. And then I remember that Janine had given me this reading that came out in the Magnificat that was about how mothers hold so many things that the kids give to you. And so I read it, and I'm going to read it for you and make the point of it. So first I'm going to read about the book. It says, what do women hold? The home and the family, and the children and the food, the friendships, the work of the world, and the work of being human, the memories and the troubles, and the sorrows and the triumphs and the love. Men do as well, but not quite in the same way. Sometimes when I'm feeling particularly happy or content, I think I can provide sustenance for legions of human beings. I can hold the entire world in my arms. Other times I can barely cross the room and I drop my arms frozen. And then the one, that's why I wanted to read this second, because it's so beautiful, the one that Janine shared with me, says like this. It's from this lady called Wendy Irene Cepeda. And it starts with saying, Mama, can you hold this? As our family walks down the beach, the kids rushing to explore the sand dunes or run across the shiny floor left by a receding wave, it's only a matter of time before I hear the question. Into my hands are eagerly thrust shoes, jackets, exciting finds like shells, interesting sticks, rocks looking lovely as the ocean water makes them gleam. The children fear to lose their treasures, but would be too weighed down by them as they run, so they bring them to me. I'm bemused by my children's apparent belief in the infinite capacity of my pockets, but smile to see their joy in the beauty around them and their confidence that I will care for whatever they give me. I don't keep it all. We'd be buried under a rock pile by now. The superfluous stones, the craft shells that would soon smell horrible, are quietly left aside. But I keep what they truly need. Shoes and jackets are held securely, and anything truly beautiful or joy-giving can stay safely in my pocket. I find myself quietly praying to Mary, my Heavenly Mother, to take into her keeping all my treasures, real and apparent. Take my children and keep them safe. Dear Mother, take me and my husband, our friends and family, the whole world. Take everything that seems important to me, gently detaching me from what is bad or useless, and preserving and perfecting what is good. Mama, can you hold this? Isn't it beautiful? How we can ask Our Lady to help us to hold what we need to hold. And here my question for me and all of us would be, it's how am I holding what I need to hold? How? Because sometimes because of what we're talking about of the world that moves so fast, so many things in our day, we don't realize, but we might be holding the things thinking that we're the only ones responsible for it. Like if we forget that someone's right here before us or on the cross for us, that became man for us and that gave us his mother. How? How do I hold the things that I need to hold? Do I hold them knowing that my Blessed Mother is right by me? And can I actually also just tell her, Mama, can you hold this for me right now? I actually don't feel I can hold it. Can you hold this for me? I need some time. So how am I holding? And as I was reflecting on that, the day right before we were coming here, we were going to Mass in D.C., and I went to Communion, and as I was coming back after receiving my Lord, I felt Jesus gave me this grace that he told me, do you realize what you just did now? That's my mom's secret, our Blessed Mother's secret, of how she was able to hold everything that she needed to hold. Her secret was she knew who she was holding inside of her, in her womb, and then in her heart. She knew she was being held, just like Mary said. She was being held by him that she was holding inside. And that was her secret. And so in that moment, right, there's those moments in our days where he just speaks to us. And for me, that was what he was saying. That was my mother's secret, to hold everything that she had to hold. All the unknown that she didn't know what was coming, etc., etc. Holding to see her son on the cross. Just even how she holds us now, right? When we think of it, our Lord gave her all of us at the foot of the cross. How she's holding all of that because she knows she holds our Lord in her heart and she's being held by him. So for me, that is the secret. And the last point would be just to remind each other of this Jubilee year that we're about to begin, which is starts December 24th, and is this year of hope, like the Holy Father has proclaimed it. Pilgrims of hope, a hope that does not disappoint. And that reminded me of this gift, this grace that I had 2 years ago in D.C. as I was praying in our chapel, and I was seeing Our Lady statue and St. Joseph. It was Advent, and so we have a statue of Our Lady and St. Joseph. And I was praying there, and I was looking at Our Lady. And of course, baby Jesus is not there yet because it's not Christmas yet, right? So he's not born yet. And I was looking at Our Lady, and I'm like, Mother, because she's looking down, right? But there's nothing there. So then I was just praying with her, and Mother, with all due respect, you look kind of funny looking at nothing. Because I was just looking, I kept looking at her, like, and she was just like, just kind of funny. And so I just kept praying, and a few seconds after, she's like, you little one, you know nothing. You think I'm staring at nothing, but I'm staring at hope. That's what I feel she said in my heart. I'm staring at hope, at the hope of our salvation, of my salvation. And that stayed with me in my heart, and now every time I pray there, that comes to my heart again. And so that, with the year of hope, even more it comes to my heart, the year of hope. And there's this challenge that if it helps you, you can do it with your family, do it yourselves. But how beautiful it would be, for example, that in this Advent, each one you can have, wherever you want to put these little papers, where every day in your moment of prayer in the morning, you can just write down in a little piece of paper, a reason to hope. A reason to hope today. And you put it in a coffee mug or somewhere. Maybe you can ask some of your family to do that too. And then the year of hope begins December 24th. And you share that. That could be an activity that day. And you share those reasons of hope. So much to thank our Lord and Our Lady.